You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, I don't know how I did it, but I thought the passage of command between commandants happened, for some reason, I thought it happened on the 19th of July. Now, don't ask me why. I got invited to it. And, and so I was looking at tickets and all the rest of that stuff. And so today, I see an article that, you know, passage of command on Thursday, and I'm like, what? So they do the ceremony the day after the passage of command? What? So then I start looking, I'm like, oh, it's today? How about that for stupid? Yeah. Big day today at the McNamara house? Yeah. Me and Colleen are going to ride the bus. That's right, we're riding the bus. Colleen's going to learn about mass transportation in Southern California. Now, this crisis has been brought about. I'll give you a glimpse into my life and the life of my 15.9-year-old, which means almost 16. So anyway, Colleen's got a job out on the Newport Peninsula. Getting to the Newport Peninsula is not easy. So as a parent, Colleen's part-time job takes like 2 hours out of my day every day to take her down there and come back, and then to go get her and come back. That doesn't make me happy. Let's do that 4 times a week. That's 8 hours of my week I'm driving her. I'm like, hey, like, I didn't sign up to work at this job. You did. So why am I, like, doing this? I've never done this for any of our kids. So anyhow, should I ride my bike? No. Let's get on the Orange County Transit Authority website and let's find where buses go. Now, Colleen is also a candy striper. And we live a few blocks from Orange Coast College, which is a junior college around here. Major destination, right? Well, guess what? So is the hospital. Well, guess what? So is where she works. In fact, the same bus goes by the house, by the college, past the hospital, and down to where she works. How awesome is that? Yeah, it's my house. Anyway, so we're going to go ride the bus today. Yeah, me and Colleen riding the bus today. So, anyhow. I said, look, it's your job, not mine. Like, 8 hours a week of me driving your ass around? Come on, I didn't sign up to be your butler. And part of getting a part-time job is making sure you can get there and get home. So, listen to how crazy this is. So, she and I are talking. I said, how much do you make an hour? $11.50 an hour. Yeah, working in her fast food place. $11.50. And then plus tips. Plus tips. Minimum wage in California is $12 an hour. So she lied to me. Damn it. On January 1, 2019, $12 an hour is the minimum wage in the state of California. That's awesome. And so with tips, add about, what, another $3 an hour, she said, in tips. I'm like, you're making $15 an hour? Like, are you kidding me? So anyway, yeah, so we're going to ride the bus today. And I said, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to emancipate you. Do you know what that means? Kind of. Okay, we'll go look it up. But anyway, I'm going to emancipate you. And once you're emancipated, you can go anywhere you want. Just, you can get a bus pass for the summer for like $20. You can go to the beach. You can go anywhere you want. Yeah, you don't need me anymore. Like, you're going to be 16. You're like, you know, what, 2 years away from being in college. And I'm not into the whole butler thing, okay? It's not for me. So as you get involved in more stuff, I mean, you got to find a way to get there. Now, my older daughter was aghast. What do you mean Colleen's going to ride the bus? Ooh, and Catherine, like, she's dumb enough to think that she's got a say in it, right? Because she, like, you know, she's the older sister, so she has a say, right? Wrong. So now I have to go through that shit show, right? So she almost got thrown out of my house last night. But because I'm a great father, I did not do that. The, anyway, good Thursday morning to you. A ton of stuff in the news today. Starting with the Iranians try to hijack a British tanker after the Brits yoked up one of theirs. And there was a frigate in the area. So guess what didn't happen? Yeah, the Iranians who are saying, like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you, what? We didn't, no, I like, why would you say things like this? The great Satan, we understand, but why other news outlets are reporting this is absolutely ridiculous to us. Yeah, right. So that in the news today. So here's a headline nobody would thought. The Iranians are acting stupidly. And again, remember, it's all aimed at Germany, who's hosting, right, PLA, which means the People's Liberation Army of China, right? Their combat medics are being hosted in Germany. So the medics from China can understand how the NATO techniques, so that if we ever get into a war, the Chinese medics do better. So just want to thank Germany, right? Who then the day before that said, yeah, we won't support anything going on in Syria. Sorry about that. And so, Germany, man, to me, just boot their asses out of NATO. They're a liability. Tell them to piss off. Right? You want to dance with Vladimir Putin? Go ahead and dance with them. Interestingly enough, for the third time in a month, Angela Merkel, or A. Merkel, as she's known on Allmarine Radio, she's, evidently she's got some health issues. She's seen attempting to stand while honors are being rendered at a military event, and standing there trembling. So she's got some physical issues going on. So actually, let's see, what, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, we have a new commandant, General Berger. Neller, he's out. He's out. He's gone. So there you go, my old hook, man. My old hook is out, so I'm out. Anyway, what are we going to do on the program today? Lynch and Kenny joined me last night, and we pretended that we were doing it live, so it'll sound like we're talking about Thursday morning, but we really recorded it. And we talked about a whole series of issues, and you'll hear that today. So pretty, always, never dull. One, does any believe that the Afghan peace will work? So you'll hear our discussion about that. Two, in the news is the vice. Is it the vice or the deputy? He's the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Yeah, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That guy. Okay. And he's been now being accused of sexual misconduct. So, we talk about, you know, Vice President Pence is ridiculed because he doesn't meet with women in private. He's absolutely, but I know a lot of Marine officers that don't, that won't do that. For these very reasons, you don't recover from the accusation. Now people will say you do, but the truth is you don't. That follows you. You're staying by it. So, and I tell a story, and so we talk about that too. I tell a story about my father-in-law, who's a physician. He would never be alone in a examination room with a woman without the presence of a nurse. Well, why is that? Why would a doctor, I mean, come on, doctors see patients all the time. Why would a doctor not? Why? Because you can be accused. Your entire livelihood can be compromised. Well, what does that sound like? So when there's that whole thing going on, you know, and then, but people want to ridicule you. If that's a step you take to protect your reputation and protect your livelihood, that, you, oh, you're overreacting. Well, I don't think so. So you'll hear us talk about that. And then what else do we talk about? We talk about Ross Perot, and we talk about the census. Ross Perot, here's the quote that I talk about. He said this, and I was reminded of it when people were kind of eulogizing him during the 1992 presidential campaign. In the second debate, so it was what, Bush, Clinton, and Perot. Here's Ross Perot. Quote, "We have to stop sending jobs overseas. It's pretty simple. If you're paying $12, $13, $14 an hour for a factory worker, and you can move your factory south of the border and pay a dollar an hour for labor, have no health care," and then he says in an aside, "that's the most expensive single element in making a car, have no environmental controls, no pollution controls, and no retirement, and you don't care about anything but making money, there will be a giant sucking sound going south." And there was. "When Mexico's jobs come up from a dollar an hour to $6 an hour, and ours go down to $6 an hour, and then it's leveled again. But in the meantime, you've wrecked the country with these kinds of deals." He lost the election. NAFTA went into effect in 1994. Now, you know, in theory, it all sounds great, right? No, I'm a free trader, I'm a free trader, I'm a free trader, I'm a free trader. But look, it's not free if the producer in the United States has to foot the bill for minimum wage, right? Now in California, $12 an hour. Healthcare, right? Environmental controls, disability insurance, and retirement. They have to offer all that and produce something. Right? And much of that mandated by law. And then you're going to say, yeah, that's a level playing field? No, it's not. So, to me, there should be some kind of leveling mechanism, right? You're a developing country, you don't do any of that, and so we're going to allow you to just bring it in, and we're all good with that. To me, it's the craziest nonsense in the world. So, anyway, reminded of that. So we talk about that in the Lynch and Kenny event this morning. So, good morning to you, and congratulations to General Berger as he becomes the Commandant of the Marine Corps. So, yeah. happened at 9 o'clock. The ceremony began on the East Coast. So it's been over probably for about an hour or so. Anyway, so that going on today. Momentous day in Marine Corps history. Maybe General Berger will join us one of these days. We'll see. But he doesn't do too much media, in case you haven't noticed that. Fair Winds and Following Seas to Bob Neller. Civilian now. As he retires and rides off into the sunset to do something else with his life. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'd love to have him come do post-traumatic winning with me one of these days. Good morning to everybody. Good morning, Mac. Nothing builds public awareness and character like public transportation or not. Sounds good. Good job, Colleen. Well, let me just tell you this. I have this to say about that. I think part of parenting is, one, making them responsible. In fact, Colleen and I were talking this morning when I told her we're going to go ride the bus together. She said, I don't need you to ride the bus with me. I said, oh, I think you do. I said, it's part of being a good parent. So you and me are riding the bus, and I'm going to sit right next to you the whole time. She started laughing. And I said, good. So then I got, then she said to me, why do I have to pay for the bus pass? I said, are you going to go to my place of work and go clean it up on riding the bus? What are you going to do when you get off the bus? Go to stuff that you signed up for, right? Yeah. And you've got a job that pays $15 an hour? That's why you're paying. It's called like owning it there, princess. She just looks at me. I said, so look, this is how it works. As opposed to me taking 2 hours of my day to go take you down there and go pick you up so your prissy ass, right, can do what you want to do. How about this? I'll take you down the bus stop, and then I'll pick you up at the bus stop. That's 20 minutes out of my day. I'll do that for you, because that's the kind of dad that I am. I won't even make you walk home from the bus stop. Right? I could make you fully self-sufficient and do that, but I won't. But I will say this. If you don't expose your kids to life, they don't learn how lucky they are. And through volunteering with Special Olympics, through, you know, taking our kids to, well, Colleen more so than anybody else, to Wounded Warrior events. And they see things that, you know, are disturbing. Well, Dad, how do they do this? Or, you know, are they going to be like that for the rest of their life? You know, and the answer is yeah, forever. And same thing when you volunteer at Special Olympics. You know, you're going to see a side of the world that you haven't seen before. And I think as a parent, if you don't rub their snout in it, if you don't take them to that stuff, and you don't have to do anything, just take them there and volunteer, right? Or get on public transportation so they can see. And if you don't do that, you're doing your, in my opinion, you're doing your kid a disservice. Because they see a part of the community that they need to see so they can know how lucky they are and why they should seize their chances and run their lap around the track hard and get as much out of it as possible because they are so fucking lucky to be born into this country. They're so lucky to be healthy and have all the chances they have. But if they just hang out with their own friends, they don't know that shit. And so I think it's part of good parenting to be able to look at them and say, hey, don't even go there with me. You know how lucky you are, so shut up and color. Got it. Right? Because they know. So to me, that's part of good parenting. And I would encourage you as a family, volunteer as a family. And Special Olympics is awesome because it's such a good time and you get so much out of it. At the same time, you know, young kids who are welcome, whether they help with awards or help with other stuff, as they become teenagers and whatnot, they can become partners and play on partner teams. But they'll learn every time they go about respect and hard work and how other people have it so much tougher than they do. And as a parent, you can draw on that and say, hey, look, man, you've got everything life can give you. All right? So don't do the woe is me thing with me because I ain't going there with you. I think that's just part of good parenting. But again, you don't beat your gums about it, right? Take them and show them. And so I agree with the Vacaville man in that public transportation, you see a different side of the community. I talk about, you know, delivering meals during Christmas with my kids. And my 19-year-old son, Patrick, who just recently got out of the Marine Corps, looks at me and says, you know what? I don't need anything for Christmas, Dad. I think I'm pretty good. And that's after no prompting, us delivering meals to all kinds of people, and we're walking back to the car in the snow in about 3 degrees above zero. And a 19-year-old saying that to you. And it only comes about when you expose them to things, and then you're going to see what you have as a human being. All right? You're going to see what you have as a human being. And so that's why I say, I mean, just go volunteer and make sure your kids see their community in the round, right? Not just their really nice high school and you know, the kind of pristine lives that, you know, middle-class people tend to live in this country. But take them and let them be exposed to and let them participate and volunteer and help the other side of the community. And, you know, that's the challenge for the 99% that don't serve. To me, that should be one of the message veterans send. Hey, look, we know you don't serve, and we certainly don't hold that against you. But here's what we want you to do. We want you to serve in your community. Okay? That's your responsibility. That in some way, shape, or form, you've got to serve in this your community, because this country isn't what it is because people don't give a shit about it, and you've got to give a shit. Okay? You've got to do your part in your community. All right? That's not hard. You can do it. I think that's a good message. I think that's a good message for our kids. I think it's a great message for our kids. Ohio man's writing me about the Commandant. I was disappointed that he didn't mention you as his favorite company commander. Did you watch the speech? Was it played? Did somebody stream it? I don't know. Maybe Mason watched it. I'm sure it was probably on TV, eh? All right, enough of that. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the news today that we need to talk about. So, good morning to you on a Thursday, big day. And I've made the following conclusion, okay, about the census. Whether you're a citizen or not matters. It matters to political power in the country. There's no getting around that. And so, to me, I find it, again, it's, as a conservative, okay, the fact that it would be left off in 2010, you're going to tell me that there was some other reason than politics that drove that, right? And people will say, oh, yeah, it wasn't political, you know, a Democratic president just left it off for altruistic reasons. But a Republican president who seeks to add it back, because it's been a part of the census forever, now he's a racist and it's politically motivated. Well, no shit is politically motivated. Just like dropping it was politically motivated. But, right, we would not subscribe, or we would not assign the motive, right, to the beautiful Barack Obama, who we all love, to include the media. Everybody loves him. He's a wonderful human being. We wouldn't ascribe a political motive to him. No, come on, Mac. Why are you being like that? But Donald Trump, right? That bad hair. I mean, come on. He's guilty. That dude's guilty of everything. He's guilty of everything. Right? So, The census is used, one of the primary purposes for the census is used to redraw, right, political lines in this country, to assign political power and representation. Therefore, we count American citizens. That's how it works. So I don't, for the life of me, I don't get the whole discussion, and it's to me stupid. If he didn't mention me in a speech, I'm disappointed too. Yes, Marines Magazine streamed the ceremony on Facebook. His speech was good. You know what? You know I got to play the speech. That's how much I know. Not very good. Not very... Honestly, I've been under the weather here the last few days. I'm sure it did show during the broadcast, but I've been sick all week. Today's the first day I felt good. All right, now I've got to find his speech. I can't believe he did not. Why would he not mention me? That's bullshit. Wait till I see him. No mention of me, your favorite company commander, in your speech? Like, what's up with that? Yeah, not only that, but he's been plagiarizing all my shit, going around the world plagiarizing me. Sometimes footnoted, sometimes not. Yeah. So you would think he would come clean as he's walking out the door. You know what? I've got one thing I need to apologize for, you know, to Mike McNamara. I've lifted so much of your material. And I try to footnote it, but sometimes I didn't get around to it. And I just want to apologize, right, to my favorite company commander. Something like that, to me, would have been exceedingly appropriate. But, oh no. Neller. Mm-hmm. I got my eye on him. Anyway, good morning to you here on a Thursday morning. United States Marine Corps Band makes today official, the day when we transition commandants. A good friend of mine, a former commanding officer, a guy who was at the basic school, Bob Neller, becomes a civilian, riding off into the sunset to do other things. So congratulations to him on a difficult 4 years. Aviation readiness was sucked, the whole Marines United thing, and the whole idea of mental health, the integration of women in combat arms, all of that, under his reign. So time for him to get some rest and take care of himself and enjoy life after an entire career devoted to the United States Marine Corps. So well done there, Bob. So, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this official. This is not very difficult. This is dedicated to General R.B. Neller, United States Marine Corps, retired. As I say this morning, well done. And thank you, for your graciousness always towards All Marine Radio, and also including me in all the different things he included me in through the course of his tenure. So this is dedicated to Bob Nella this morning. All the best of luck to you and Darcy. Well done.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards let the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
time to check the weather on this momentous day in the Marine Corps. Currently, in Washington, D.C., where the Commandant's Change of Command is going on, that I was invited to, but I don't know how I screwed that up. I had it in my head it was the day after. I don't know how I screwed up. I had it in my head it was the day after me speaking next week at MCRD. So I was looking at flights. Unbelievable. Anyway, it's cloudy in 88 in D.C. at the home of Marine Barracks 8th and I. Yeah, just so you know, this is the order of events. Uniform was dress blue deltas. All right, number nine. At 9 o'clock, the passage of command. At 10 o'clock, the post parade reception. Attire, dress blue deltas or equivalent uniform. Civilian is a business suit. For guest parking, use lot one at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. There will be shuttles that run approximately every 15 minutes from RFK Stadium to the barracks. I want you to feel like you're a part of the event that I didn't go to. If you, from the Pentagon, four coach buses will be staged in the south parking lot at 7 a.m. The first bus will depart from Marine Barracks, Washington, that's 8th and I, approximately 15 minutes after the conclusion of the ceremony, with the last bus departing at noon. From Quantico, yeah, four coach buses will be staged at the parking lot of the clubs at Quantico at 6:15 a.m. They departed at 6:45. All times are approximate. So there you have it. That's the inside gouge on gouge. Yeah, that's old core, just so you know. That's the inside gouge from the slop shoot on the Commandant's Change of Command. So cloudy in 88, where that change of command is going on. It is down the coast at Camp Lejeune. It is mostly cloudy and 86. And in 29 Palms, sunny in 87. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 66. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 76, cooled off there a little bit. In Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy and 81. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, it is sunny and 107. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, clear and 99 degrees. And in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, where I will be riding public transportation, it is cloudy and 66 as we teach life's lessons today. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up at the top of the hour, a little bit after the top of the hour. Actually, there's a ton of news. We'll talk about it. After that, you can hear Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney. Here's just a little tip. None of us are optimistic that the things that the Afghans are saying that they're going to do, they can do. So I just want to prepare you. Don't get your little, you know, the little engine that could, you know, jammies on and listen to this interview, because you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, her shit's getting on the buff.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made of this heartbreak.
P. Davis. I have to talk to her today, so. All right, off to the news we go. And there's a lot of it. The first story we already talked about, the Iranians in the Persian Gulf tried to surround and force into Iranian waters a British tanker. And lo and behold, right, the Royal Navy was around and that shit didn't go anywhere. So, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So, evidently, a trio of Iranian, they kind of fast attack boats, right? Patrol boats. Started to get after the, let's see, what's the name of the British Heritage is the name of the tanker. Near the island of Abu Musa. The Iranian vessels turned away after a verbal warning from the frigate HMS Montrose. You know what? I love that kind of shit too. I love the whole HMS thing. Her Majesty's ship. Evidently, Her Majesty's ship swiveled a gun. Time to go, boys! Exactly. So anyway, so that going on, that kind of broke last night. So the Iranians continuing to do stupid things in order to put pressure on the Europeans, and we will see where that goes. So that in the news. The other big news from yesterday is that the Navy and Jeff Zizulowitz kind of predicted it. He said they would not confine themselves to the search of only four stars, that in his opinion, that the at the top of the Navy, the talent had been thinned out because of all the different controversies they've had and the number of people that have resigned because of it. Fat Leonard, the McCain, the Fitzgerald, and various other incidents. But anyway, Vice Admiral Mike Gilday is a surface warfare officer. He will be the president's nominee to become the new chief of naval operations. He's a 3-star surface warfare officer. And the Wall Street Journal broke the news yesterday. And he's currently the director of the Joint Staff. He'll replace Bill Moran as the nominee, should he be confirmed by the Senate. He is the former commander of the 10th Fleet and the U.S. Navy's cyber arm of the service. So, and he steps over seven sitting four-star admirals in a move that is largely without recent precedent. The, it's interesting. So, you know, when asked, like, well, what about the four stars? Quote, this is from a defense official. There was a determination that all of the four stars needed to stay where they are right now, a defense official told USNI News on Wednesday. So, anyway, so that in the news. Gilday is a 1985 U.S. Naval Academy graduate. He's commanded guided missile destroyers USS Higgins, USS Benfold, Desron, which is Destroyer Squadron 7, Carrier Strike Group 8 aboard the USS Dwight V. Eisenhower. As a flag officer, he's served as Director of Operations for NATO's Joint Force Command in Lisbon, as Chief of Staff for Naval Strike Force and Naval Forces NATO, Director of Operations for U.S. Cyber Command, and his current role as Director of Operations for the Joint Staff. He also previously served as the Executive Assistant to the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and as Naval Aide to the White House. That would make him a baller, all right? So, Mike Gilday. So, good luck to him. Honestly, the nation needs the Navy to be better than it is, and the Navy's had a rough go of it. It's going to continue to have a rough go, but hopefully he can bring a little black shoe back into the leadership of the Navy. Black Shoe Navy is a surface warfare Navy, for those of you who don't know. The Brown Shoe Navy is the aviation component. So the Navy needs a little black shoe back in it, and hopefully he'll be the guy to do it. So, again, the lead agency in any fight against the Chinese will be the United States Navy. All right? Against Iran in the Persian Gulf, the lead agency will be the United States Navy. So you guys got work to do. Right? Nation depends on you, so get it done. Get it done. Other news at very high levels. The headline, Time Magazine. Senior officer accuses Air Force general of sexual misconduct. Not just an Air Force general, but the vice chairman, right? Tapped to be the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has been accused of sexual misconduct, potentially jeopardizing the nomination. All right. So, General John Hayten, H-Y-T-E-N, okay, United States Air Force. Now, this happened late last night. The Air Force investigation has found no evidence to support accusations of sexual misconduct against President Donald Trump's nominee to become the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a senior U.S. military official said on Wednesday. The nomination of Air Force General John Hayten, the outgoing head of U.S. Military Strategic Command, remains on track, the Pentagon said. Still, it was unclear if he would be confirmed by the Senate by the end of July, when outgoing Vice Chairman Paul Selva is due to retire. We've conducted an exhaustive investigation, talked to 53 witnesses across three countries and 13 states, reviewed tens of thousands of emails, interviewed folks that were closest to the alleged incidents, the military official said, speaking on a condition of anonymity. We're just out of rocks to turn over. The unsubstantiated allegations against Hayten included unwanted kissing, touching, rubbing up against the accuser, the official said. News of the investigation followed a spate of surprise disclosures at the Pentagon, including ones that led to Patrick Shanahan to resign as acting defense secretary last month, and led the admiral, expected to become the Navy's top uniformed officer, to instead announce Sunday that he would retire. Sources said the outcome of the investigation into the allegation against Hayten has been briefed to the Senate, which has yet to schedule a confirmation hearing. Hayten is likely to be asked about them in any testimony. So, anyway, a little bit of churn at the top of the Pentagon. So, anyway. Yeah, so that in the news, and the DOD has said we've investigated, and there's no there there. At least no there that they can find. All right, elsewhere. Pew Report, most veterans say Iraq and Afghan wars were not worth the fighting. I think that is categorized under a firm grasp of the obvious. Proud of their service, proud of what they did, but in retrospect, right, the Iraq war, look at what the Bushies have done to the world. I mean, you look at it now, and it's incredible. Destabilized the entire Middle East, and that has bled up into Europe. Right? And more than 50%, two-thirds of the veterans in the Pew study think the war in Iraq was not worth fighting. More than 50% think the same about the war in Afghanistan. I think that number in Afghanistan would go way up if you asked a question like this. One, do you think we had a responsibility / obligation to initially go into Iraq and destroy the Taliban elements responsible for supporting Osama bin Laden and Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan? And you would get very, very high percentages that say yes. Do you agree with the expansion of the ground war in Afghanistan? And you get a very, very high percentage that would say no. So, again, Colin Powell is going to be judged harshly by history. Right? As Secretary of State, he presided over both of those. Okay, Pew is a, for those of you that don't know, is a nonpartisan think tank, released the results of their study Wednesday. 64% of veterans from the Iraq War say it wasn't worth fighting, considering the cost versus the benefits to the United States. Of the ongoing war in Afghanistan, 58% of veterans said the same. Pew surveyed a sample of 1,284 veterans and 1,087 other adults in May and June and compared their answers. The think tank drew participants from a panel of randomly selected adults who are representative of the U.S. in terms of age, gender, education, income, and geographic regions. So, interesting. Categorized as a firm grasp of the obvious. All right. Yesterday, 50 sailors from the USS John McCain were honored for actions during the 2017 collision. And you know what? As much as we've talked about the shortcomings of the command and leadership of the Navy, I think that there can be no doubt when you read the accounts of both the Fitzgerald and the McCain, the valor of the sailors that fought to keep their ships afloat, that tried to save their shipmates, and 50 of them were honored for their efforts to save lives on the McCain. That ran into a, drove in front of a merchant ship 2 years ago. 10 sailors died aboard the McCain on August 21st, 2017, in a collision near at the mouth of the Straits of Malacca. So congratulations to all of them. They were awarded their medals by Admiral John Aquilino, who was mentioned as a possible candidate to become the next Chief of Naval Operations, although that turned out not to be true. So, so congratulations to all of them. Here's a list of who was awarded what? Navy and Marine Corps Medal, which is generally given for life-saving. It is the highest award you can be given for valor in peacetime. Lieutenant Aaron Van Dreshy, Chief Warrant Officer 3, Michael Calhoun, DC-1, which is Damage Control, Justin Ramirez, DC-1, Michael Cooper, GSM, I don't know what that means, Gunner's Mate, Delondo Beckford, OS. OS are operation specialists. They work in operations. Malachi Shannon and SH2. Mark Williams. I'm not sure what SH stands for. Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medals, right? Lieutenant Michael Schaffer, Lieutenant J.G. Catherine Hussey, Lieutenant J.G. Megan Mariano, Chief Warrant Officer 2, Joshua Pallett, GSCS. No idea what that means. Brian Hayes, DCC, Damage Control Chief, possibly. Anthony Ebarp, DC-1, Hussey Brooks, HM-1, Doc Alan Aaron, HM2 Justin Lamb, HT2 Darwin Dunlop, MM1 Nicholas Healy, GSM2 Jonathan Spence, MM2 Joseph Ligon, DC3 Harley Peterson, ET2 Royce Black. And there's too many Navy Achievement Medals for me to name. So congratulations to all of them. Again, we've talked about these incidents and been very critical of the leadership of these of both McCain and the Fitzgerald. And honestly, they earned every bit of that criticism. They earned every bit of that criticism, and I lament that the people that should have been court-martialed were not court-martialed, because they should have been. But the courage and selflessness of young sailors, of young Marines, is the thing that takes your breath away. So so congratulations to all of them. Elsewhere, here's another. This is written by Todd South, who writes, a former Marine, who writes in Marine Corps Times all the time, does much of the writing. Headline, report, military leaders must speak up to prevent another Afghanistan. You think? All right, that's one of a number of findings that the Center for Strategic and International Studies came up with in a report that's entitled, quote, "Tell Me How This Ends, Military Advice, Strategic Goals, and Forever War in Afghanistan, and the subsequent panel held on Wednesday." Tell me that they filmed this. I would love to play this. Stand by. The webpage was loading, but it stopped. And now, military advice in the forever war in Afghanistan. Hold on. Oh my God. It's an hour and 41 minutes long.
Well, good morning. Huh. I'm Mark Cansey. I'm a senior advisor here at CSIS, and I'd like to welcome you to our event this morning.
We're not going to listen to this today.
I have a routine safety announcement to make in the unlikely event of an emergency. I will give instructions about what we do. We will either stay here or exit through the front door or through the back door.
Interesting. Why would we have an emergency? Let's see. Who's part of the panel? Mark Barno, Lieutenant General of the United States Army, retired. Visiting Professor of Strategic Studies and Senior Fellow at the Merrill Center in the John Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. Never heard of him. Jonathan Schroeder, Ph.D., Research Program Director and Special Ops Research Coordinator for CNA. Linda Robinson, Ph.D., Senior International Defense Research for RAND Corporation. So those are the people that will be part of the panel. And there's somebody on the right that's a young dude. That must be Jonathan Schroeder. Anyway, I'd love to listen to that. So maybe I should get the Blockhead Brothers on, and we should kind of listen and pause it and do a couple shows worth of commentary. Anyway, I joke about this all the time, right? that you're sitting in an OPT, a planning group, and we're going to expand the ground war in Afghanistan. And, oh, I know that name. Right? Anyway. And nobody sticks their hand up in the back and says, look, I know you guys have a really good idea of how we're going to refashion Afghanistan, but I just want to ask somebody this. If, you know, we were in Germany and Japan for 60 years, how many years do you think we're going to be here doing this? What'd you say your name is? How'd he get in here? Right? How'd he get in here? Get his ass out of here. Right? The last thing we need in here is naysayers. You know? We don't need naysayers here. We need people that are on board and want to help us make this thing happen. It's bullshit. And is the country prepared for it? Look, I mean, 18 years into it, we're not even a third of the way into what we did into Germany and Japan, although we fought more. Was the nation, I mean, were they too stupid to have that conversation? Right? There's an old axiom in construction, right? Measure twice, cut once. Before you lead the country to war, you better be, and I'll give you another example. So a guy like General Zinni, who is the commander of CENTCOM, says, do not do this, right? And you know what Don Rumsfeld said? I don't even know who he is. Who is he? Don Rumsfeld, arrogant ass, if you're responsible, what you should do is you have to count for Zinni's criticism. You have to account for it. We have to bring Zinni in and say, okay, here's what we've got. Here's what we think. So rip it apart, and you put him on stage, and then you ask him questions, and then you say, okay, thank you, we appreciate your input, and then you sit down and you reconcile what you think with what he just said, and if it doesn't stand right, if it doesn't stand, you know, if it doesn't hold water, then you don't go there. Because the events are catastrophic. The events are catastrophic. And so, I mean, the same shit in Afghanistan. And for the life of me, I don't know how they could have looked at Afghanistan and said, yeah, we're just going to kind of go spread over and the Taliban are going to roll, which they didn't do under the Soviets, but they'll roll for us because we're better. Is that the arrogant bullshit that we did? And wasn't there any normal people in there? Were they all these bobblehead, shithead generals that we have? Because that's the problem. The problem is that you have too many conformists that don't want to say shit. And I've told you this. It's like talking to educators. Educators will never criticize the education system. You want to know why? Because they have a union. And you got to stay in line. And that's why they don't get out of line. Right? That's why you don't read stories every day around the country about this guy or this woman on this board of education stood up and said, this is all bullshit. Our education system sucks. All we do is drain money and we're not producing shit. You don't hear that. You want to know why? Because they know where their bread's buttered. Bunch of bobbleheads in the American education system. Now, they may go to their educational curriculum development and have a mild disagreement, but that's the extent of it. Nobody gets their shit thrown in the street. And let me tell you, right, every disaster that we've gone to, the nation has been escorted by its general and flag officers. And so this report, late to the party, but now it's written by a guy named Mark Kansian, retired Marine Corps colonel who now works as a senior advisor to CSIS. I knew I recognized the name. His report revisits the early days and objectives of invading Afghanistan, and summarily tracks the war's unfolding and changing leadership over nearly two decades. Quote, the purpose of this project is not to indicate how to fight such wars better in the future, he wrote. Rather, its goal is to aid in developing more insightful advice before wars begin, so that the United States can determine whether to get involved in the first place and understand the likely duration and intensity. Fuck, are you kidding me? What if they don't? If they didn't know this shit at the war college, why do we have one? All right, hold on. I'm doing my breathing exercise. Let's see. He goes on. That came in part from a significant chunk of military leaders thinking that civilians should, quote, give us a mission, give us what we need to accomplish the mission, and stay out of the way. Come on. Like, are we that stupid? The overriding belief that military leaders should not participate in discussions about goals and end states at all makes many military officers uncomfortable with the political dimensions of those discussions. But by the end of his research, the retired colonel advised military leaders need to push back against the civilian goals if the conditions are not favorable, and they have to give advice simply beyond how we're going to do this. Interesting. The CSIS report lays out the case that after spending a combined $737 billion in military funds and another $44 billion in State Department money, citing the book The $3 Trillion War by Joseph Stiglitz and Linda Bilmes, and sacrificing 2,400 U.S. troops, the situation at best in Afghanistan is a stalemate. Some of what led to the stalemate includes, one, ignoring that other nations might not have the same values that we do. Two, ignoring the experience of the Soviets who, despite obvious differences to the U.S. coalition, had tried to achieve many of the same social and political transformations and who had experienced many of the same frustrations that the U.S. and NATO later experienced. Three, ignoring the history of foreign occupations in general, which inevitably engender resentment against the foreign occupier. Four, ignoring the history of Afghanistan, which had a precedent for being easy to conquer but difficult to occupy. Five, ignoring why the Taliban fight, particularly their religious motivation. All right, so we have to get him off. Because this is the problem, the whole bobblehead factor, okay, the whole bobblehead factor. And, whoa, this is going to be good. We're going to do a couple of Lynch Kinney events. Roundtable this, man. This is awesome. I love it. Somebody finally getting to what we need to talk about. I'm motivated now. All right, we've already talked to about General Hyten. We'll take a break. I'm fired up today for some reason. No, that study just fired me up. But again, how do you go to those colleges and not speak up? What are you afraid? You're not going to get your next star? Is that where you're at? Don't you have an oath to the nation? It's supposed to supersede that? Do the right thing? Or resign? And not hardly any of them did that? They want to take the next step in the corporation? We got to stop that, man. We got to stop that. People got to speak their mind. Those meetings got to be knockdown dragouts. So, disappointing. Disappointing. Disappointing to say the least. The fact that, so many are dead is disgusting. And that's American leadership. That's American military leadership for you. It's brutal. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up the news, and then you'll hear the Lynch Kenny event. Let me play. Let me read you a couple emails. I don't want to pump your tire, Mac, because I know that tire is outside of the rim already. But you've been saying all of that for how long on this program? I've listened for probably over 2 years, and that is standard fare for you. Maybe you should run CSIS. You fucking think? Yeah, like, who thinks that shit's a good idea? Anyway, man, it's frustrating. All right, more Ball Marine Radio after it calms down. Coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are and live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you die?
Yeah, just so everybody knows, Colleen just got back from the dentist. So on a big day for her, a day where she's going to experience public transportation in Orange County. She's going to do it cavity-free. Yeah.
Don't you love the life you kill? The priest is on the phone. Your father hit the wall. Your mother don't you. Don't suppose I'll ever know. For me to be a man. It's like an oxygen change. I live around here. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all.
All right, we continue. Now the now I'm fired up, honestly, to watch that video, and then we'll have to roundtable that, man. There's some good stuff. I'll have to cherry pick some of the things they talk about, and then tee that stuff up and get some smart people on. Top stories in Early Bird. Number one. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I got a little carried away. Congratulations to a Marine who was honored last night at the ESPY. And you probably seen her. Her name is Kirsty Ennis. She's an amputee, and she's been all over the world doing all kinds of things. She walked across Britain in 2015, and she's won gold medals at the World Games. She's trying to compete in the Paralympics as a snowboarder. She's done, you know, pictures as a model, as an amputee. And all with one leg. So congratulations to her. She was awarded the Pat Tillman Award for Service, given at the ESPYs that were last night. She's a former Marine Corps door gunner and airframes mechanic. She lost her leg in 2012 on her second deployment to Afghanistan when her CH-53 Delta went down. And again, there weren't too many Deltas flying anymore, but she was in one, and she suffered severe physical trauma, her brain, her spine, neck, shoulder, face, left leg, and after some 40 surgeries, was amputated below the knee 3 years later. A month after it was amputated below the knee, it was amputated above the knee. So, anyway, she's been an incredible story. And, so congratulations to her and a great honor, being presented with the award, that is named in honor of Pat Tillman, who was a United States Army Ranger killed in Afghanistan. So congratulations to her. That in the news. There was a story months ago that I know we talked about here, and it had to do with a first sergeant at Parris Island who had concocted a scheme to steal razor blades. Yeah. It was $1.5 million, right, scheme that they would derive from stealing razor blades. He's been sentenced to 2 years in the brig. First Sergeant Lascelles Chambers conspired with three other DOD employees to steal Gillette razor blades and other goods from Parris Island, South Carolina Recruit Depot store and warehouse from January 2017 to June 2018. God, you gotta be kidding me. He was convicted in a court-martial held aboard Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Parris Island, and later sentenced on June 16th to 2 years confinement, reduction to private, and a bad conduct discharge, according to a spokesman. He was convicted of larceny, conspiracy, and interstate transportation of stolen goods. Amazing. According to court documents, Chambers worked with three other defense employees to steal high-end razor blades and other items. The stolen goods were then sold, and the proceeds were split up by Chambers using his Navy Federal Credit Union account. You're probably not going to see that on a commercial anytime soon. The two other accomplices allegedly were able to steal the razor blades at the warehouse and avoid detection by disabling security cameras, according to court documents. So, there you have it. So, that in the news, as a follow-up, the rest of the story, so to speak, in a story that we see more and more of, and I talked about all the different nonprofit organizations that, now go and look for missing in action, and the steady stream of Marines, soldiers, sailors, and airmen that are returned to the nation, and this story is one of those. Remains of a Missouri Marine killed in World War II at Tarawa are finally accounted for. The remains of Marine Sergeant George Trotter of Kansas City, Missouri, who was killed on the first day of the Battle of Tarawa on November 20th, 1943, have been recovered. He was a member of Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines, 2nd Marine Division. His remains were accounted for in April and were announced on Monday. To finally identify Trotter's remains, scientists used dental and anthropological analysis, the organization said. He will be buried on August 9, 2019 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. There are still 72,692 service members unaccounted from World War II. Of those, approximately 26,000 could be recoverable. That's pretty amazing. So that story in the news today. Now, you've seen stories about support for the president among veterans slipping. More veterans approve of President Donald Trump's performance as commander-in-chief than dislike his tenure so far, but many still worry he does not listen enough to military leadership for advice, according to a new poll from the Pew Research Center released on Wednesday. A survey conducted of 1,300 veterans in May and June, 57% of the respondents said they approve of how Trump is leading the armed forces. In contrast, 41% said they disapprove of how he's handling the U.S. military. Those findings echo results in the Military Times poll last fall that showed stronger support for Trump among active duty personnel than the public at large. That in the news. And then here's an odd headline. Would lowering the age of recruiting fix the military recruiting worries? God, the last thing the military needs is younger people. Seriously. I mean, the difficulties of military lifecycle can be off-putting to members of Generation Z, especially amid today's tight labor market and the greater availability of civilian jobs. Many potential recruits today are hesitant to sign up for the back-to-back deployments, constant moves, high unemployment among military spouses, common complaints among service members, according to Blue Star Families Military Lifestyle Survey. Yeah, it ain't for everybody. So, anyway. Yeah, you know what? I mean, there's going to be, with the pool of eligible shrinking because they're obese, that's going to be something that the nation at some point has to consider. So, you know, now, it's interesting when you go to, you know, you have a kid in high school, they tell you how, well, we don't, you know, we used to do a little bit more vigorous physical fitness. Now we do more lifestyle stuff. So we have treadmills and we walk and things like that. So you don't have vigorous exercise so much anymore. We're trying to prepare them for the rest of their lives. So we teach nutrition and we get on treadmills and we have bikes and blah, blah, blah. We don't play dodgeball and all the fun things we used to do in gym class. We don't run a lot in gym class anymore. We don't, like, what? Yeah. And they're all more obese. So anyhow, so maybe you should double down on the nutrition part of the program. But anyway, it's interesting. But at some point, the nation's going to have to address that in the public school system. Say, you know what? It ain't working. And we've got to find nationally, we've got to address this, because all you've done by taking the rigor out of physical fitness is made them fatter quicker. That ain't good. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. We've gone through most of them. Number one, an officer accuses Air Force General of sexual misconduct. That's the one the Air Force is pushing back on, saying, we've investigated, we cannot substantiate the allegation. So the question is, how will that play, right, with Kirsten Gillibrand running for president as part of the Senate Armed Service Committee, with Elizabeth Warren running for president as part of the Senate Armed Service Committee that will confirm General Hayden. Two, blast in the past, Pentagon's updated war plan for tactical nukes. The world has not seen a nuclear strike since 1945, but a nuclear attack from an enemy and potential U.S. counterstrike is a scenario that's drawing renewed attention from the Defense Department as the military prepares for the grim prospect of full-scale combat operations involving nuclear weapons. Yeah, do you think the person's actually alive that would push that? I mean, pointed towards the United States. I don't. I mean, do you think the guy in North Korea would do that? He would be a candidate. The Iranians would be candidates to nuke Israel, but they know what would happen in response. They would be obliterated. Number three, Trump's newest central casting general. This is from Politico. He's loud, he's bombastic, he's salt of the earth, and now Mark Milley, I don't know how you pronounce his name, is preparing for confirmation to lead the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He headed for the White House to be interviewed for this position in November. He emerged from the meeting with an even loftier prize. President Donald Trump asked Milley whether he wanted to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. His steeper-than-expected promotion came despite the fact that then-Defense Secretary Jim Mattis was grooming Air Force Chief of Staff David Goldfein for the Joint Chiefs post. But Milley had champions in the president's inner circle, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Trump campaign alum David Urban, who thought Milley's personality would gel with Trump's, according to four sources with knowledge of the meeting. At the end, POTUS was prepped to ask the question, why not chairman? Milley faces his next crucial job interview on today when he is interviewed by the Senate Armed Service Committee as they hold his confirmation hearing. Milley, who is 61 years of age, has seen combat in Panama, the Middle East. He's well-read. He's brash. He's had his eye on the chairman position for years, according to Politico, who spoke to 13 people who have either worked for or near Milley and portray him as a tough-talking warrior thinker. Princeton-educated, an officer for whom books on Thucydides are light reading. He's also a hockey player with a thick frame, a firm gaze, and boundless energy, known to bend others to his will. Quote, he's thoughtful, smart, learned, he's read a ton of books, very studied, and a big thinker. He doesn't get credit for being a big thinker because he's got that tough hockey player exterior. That according to Urban, who's a friend of Milley, who's in Trump's inner circle. So, be interesting. Be interesting to see his style relative to General Dunford, who gets ready to leave. Number four, Iranian boat attempts to seize a British tanker. We talked about that. And number five, Navy to nominate 3-star for the CNO positions because all the 4-stars need to stay in their seats. So, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear the Lynch-Kenny event. So don't touch that dial. Bonus coverage today here on All Marine Radio. Yeah, we talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, do any of us have a warm feeling about the talks in Afghanistan? I'll tease it. Again, no, we don't. Kenny kind of does. I don't understand his warm feeling. But he tries to explain it. I think he fails miserably, but that's just me. But, and if he was listening to this, he would say, man, that's bullshit, whatever. But, no, the whole, and you'll hear me say this, but the whole Jeffersonian concept of minority rights, they don't do that in that part of the world. That's not how it works. And so at the root of governing the major cities is money. The people that run those cities, they make a shit ton of money. Now they're going to share it with the Taliban? And what happens when they hit a bump? Yeah. And then what about the rights of women? It was said, women will retain their rights consistent with Islamic law and Islamic cultural norms. Okay, let me get my secret decoder ring out to see what that means. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have to. I can tell you. Stand by to put your burqa back on, ladies. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, the brilliant ones join me here on Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, a day when we welcome General Berger as a Commandant of the Marine Corps and a whole bunch of other news. Hey, and congrats to the Brits, man. Right. Congrats to the Brits. Nice going there, boys and girls. Right? Nice going. I love that stuff. When the good guys win. And the bad guys get forced to go back and act stupid. Alright? So, if you missed out on it, to the crew, right, of the HMS Montrose, nice going. The British Navy, here's to them. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.